minutes, huh?
Amen. Well, he needs to hide us, but we need to fight. God hadn't called us to be a bunch of cowards, a bunch of sissies. He's called us to be soldiers in the greatest army there ever was, the army of God. And I just want to tell you something. I'm sick and tired, probably not as much as the Lord is, of Christians just allowing themselves to be the devil's punching bag. When you do not have to, plain and simple. Don't you think that when Scripture says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that it'll quicken, make alive, empower, impact your life. When he fills you with his Spirit, the purpose is to have power to go and to be a witness and to do the work of the ministry, to fulfill the gospel in this world, in this life, in your circumstances. And the Lord wouldn't have us to be ambushed. He told us right up front, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have adversity. You're going to have some battles to fight. But he says, there shall not an enemy stand before you against whom you fight. But you've got to fight. Quit having a pity party. Quit feeling like you're at the devil's mercy. You know, I think the devil gets way too much credit and God gets way too much blame for what goes on in our life because it's a result of decisions that we've made, choices that we make, things that we know to do and just don't do. And things that we know not to do, that we're going to do them anyway if it hair lips every cow in Texas. There are those times when you need to be hid. There are those times when you need to fight the good fight of faith. You don't, now I know I'm shotgun blasting you here at the get-go, but you know, he tells us that our walk, our journey, it's not supposed to be by sight. It's a journey and a walk of faith. Trusting in God, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want to encourage you tonight, saints. Stand up. Call on the name of the Lord. Take dominion and authority over that devil. Use God's word because he watches over it to perform it. He watches over it to do it. And I just want to challenge you to do that in your life. Some of you are going through some things and the Lord dropped something in my heart. Actually, yesterday, the only thought that I had was, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And Skeeter was singing a song over here a while ago, 2 Chronicles came, and I want to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 2. That's on page 673 in my book. Some of you saying, where in the world is 2 Chronicles? It's right after 1 Chronicles. All right. Then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazandamar, which is in Jedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gavest it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If when evil cometh upon us, as with sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, if we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and if we cry unto thee out of our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah. Boy, I'm glad I didn't have to spell all that. A Levite of the sons of Asaph, upon him came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed. That word dismayed means discouraged. Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great company, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Seem like he's repeating himself. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he anointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, and were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of them for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. I feel like some of you in this place tonight, you're facing what you think or seem to be insurmountable opposition. You see, as described in the scripture that we read, just a host coming against you. You see, maybe in the spirit realm, maybe in the natural realm, maybe in the financial realm, maybe in your physical realm, that you're seeing opposition in different shapes and different forms and different ways that are coming against you, and you just don't know what to do. King Jehoshaphat, he didn't know, and he plainly said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. When you don't know what to do, I want us to learn something from this passage of Scripture, and that's pretty self-explanatory about keeping your eyes on the Lord. But let me give you a few things that you need to apply to your life. Now, this applies spiritually, relationally, financially, physically. It will be applicable to all areas of your life. The first thing you knew, we see in verse 3, where he set himself to seek the Lord. Don't miss that. That is key. Because you see, so oftentimes we just come up with this brainstorm or we come up with this thought and we think that's our answer. We think that's the direction that we go, and it may or may not be. But one thing's for certain, when you begin to seek the Lord, in other words, to find out what he thinks about the situation, what his strategy for the circumstances are, what his way out is, you need to begin to seek the Lord to get a game plan. You begin to seek him to hear his voice, for direction. As a child of God, don't you realize that the Scripture says that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord? So oftentimes, more than not, I know I've got a PhD in just doing my own thing and winding up in a mech of a hess. But one thing I can tell you, with no reservations, not one time that I've sought the Lord and heard him say what to do has it ever gone awry. Has it ever ended wrong? Not one time. So I want to encourage you tonight to adhere to the Scripture that said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Quit running to ungodly people to speak into your life, direction for your life, because you're going to get ungodly advice, which most of the time will wind up with ungodly results. So set yourself to seek the Lord. Secondly, in verse 4, we see where they were asking the Lord to help. I find that in present day church, we always, more often than saying, Lord, help, we say, Lord, fix it. We say, Lord, do it. Lord, make it happen. Instead of, Lord, help me, empower me. Put your super on my natural so that I can go out and conquer and be victorious in this situation. I need to ask you, Lord, for your direction. I need to ask you for your wisdom. I need to ask you for help. I need to ask you for revelation. I need for you to show me things and understanding that in myself I do not have. I need your help to discern what's right and wrong, what's a good move, what's not a good move, what's the devil, what's the Lord, what's the flesh. I need your help. Ain't nothing wrong with being honest with God. Amen. Thirdly, we see in verses 6-9, and I won't read all of that, but it's basically you need to remind yourself of who God is. Plainly said right there, in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. We've got to remind ourselves that he, yes, is Lord of lords and King of kings, but he's powerful and he's full of grace and he's full of mercy and he wants to come in salvation more than just the fire insurance kind that we get. He wants to come and save you from your circumstances. He wants to deliver you out of those situations. So remind yourself of who he is and his promises and his word and what he says. Fourthly, you need to know that the Spirit of the Lord will come. In verse 14, we see where the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Again, I said, that means discouraged. You hear me say quite regularly around here that because it's the truth, the devil wants to come in and he wants to start with fear. You see something and you get fearful. Then he wants you to get discouraged. because discouragement is just a half a step from the feelings of futility or hopelessness. Once he gets you to the place of hopelessness, I need a drink. That's a tongue twister. Once he gets you to the place of hopelessness, you're teeter-tottering on the edge of not even being able to have faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if the devil can cause you to lose hope, you can't have faith. You've got to realize that with God in you and in your corner, there's always hope because he's a God of hope. Amen. Hope thou in God. Plain and simple. Don't be afraid. Verse 18. Don't stop worshiping God. See, notice where he sent the worshipers out in front of the fighters. That's why virtually every church in America, regardless of the denomination that it is, virtually all of them open the service with what they call praise and worship. There's power in worship. Worship, praise. Praise, worship. They're different. They're very close, but they're different. Praise is the proclaiming and declaring of the greatness of the victories and the power and the might of God. Worship is worshiping with reverence and respect of the Holy One. You see, the church in America today, generally speaking, has lost a reverence for who he is. He's God. He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. There's none before him. Won't be any after him. There's none like him that's ever lived. None can stand against him. That's why it's important that you begin to worship that one. Followed closely behind by praise. Praise him for past victories. Praise him for the victory that you're about to have. We read the Bible, it's full of stories. This one is one of them. That before the victory, praise and worship went up. Paul and Silas cast a demon out of a girl that was basically a fortune teller, making a lot of money for her bosses. They cast a demon out of her. Her bosses went to the magistrates. Y'all know that story, how they arrested Paul and Silas, whipped them, beat them, cast them into the inner prison, had shackles upon them. And it says, and at midnight, representative of the darkest hour, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Prayed and sang praises. Prayed and sang praises. Prayed while they were in shackles. Praised while they were in shackles. Prayed while they were in prison. Praised when they were in prison. And as they prayed and sang praises, the shackles fell off. The doors opened. And they begin to walk out. And I want you to know, you can learn to praise your way out of where you're at. That's why it's important that as Skeeter and these worship team come up to lead us in praise and worship, it's important. It's important that you enter into. Now, let me say this. We don't start and stop worship, praise and worship. We don't start and stop praise and worship. The Bible declares that praise and worship goes around on 24/7 around the throne of God. We enter into and we exit. We enter into and we exit. So when they come together to lead us and to enter into praise and worship, get in. The more you're going through, the louder you need to sing. Learn to worship and to praise your way out. And then in verse 25, when they had done all of these things, we see the victory. We see where it says that as they went to take the spoils, the riches were in abundance and precious jewels. Took them 3 days to carry the spoils away. Now, I want you to know, if you apply these principles to whatever it is that you're facing, if you'll get God's direction, if you'll ask Him for help, if you'll pray and sing praises, worship God, put action to your faith, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed, but have confidence in that which the Lord has begun in you, He will perfect, perform, and complete. He'll bring you through. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Would you bow your heads?